To John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm grateful for the Word of God. I'm grateful that it doesn't ever change. I'm grateful that it stays the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It'll be the same. But it is, however, the living Word of God. And what I mean by that is that as we read, you can read a passage of Scripture today, and it'll be just so wonderful, so comforting, so warm and fuzzy. And you can read that in months to come, and that same Scripture will bring conviction to your heart. It will bring a challenge to your heart. It will bring correction in your life. So it's the living Word of God, but it is for us today. And it says this, starting in verse 47 of John chapter 6. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood and abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now, Lord, I realize this passage of Scripture sounds almost like something out of a horror flick. But, God, it's your Word, and the implication there is talked about again, I believe, in John chapter 15, where it says that we are the vine, that you are the vine and we are the branches. And unless we stay attached to the vine, the branches wither and become unproductive. And so, Lord, I pray that your church, each one of us that have called upon the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would in fact stay attached to you. Lord, that we'd get nourishment from you. Lord, that we would stay in the very presence of God. That you would use us, Lord, to infect this world with the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray your anointing on me today as I declare your word. I pray your anointing on your people today to receive your word. God, that it would do what you've accomplished, that you've set it out to accomplish in each and every one of us and in this city, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. It doesn't take long for Jesus to identify himself in this passage as the bread of life. He is the heavenly bread, the true, the life-sustaining power. Anything else, regardless of religious significance or past, in the past or in the present, is an inadequate substitute. Jesus is, in fact, our ultimate source of nourishment and life. If we fail to eat of this bread, we will starve spiritually. Listen, you can be plump and fat just like I am, but without the nourishment of the Holy Spirit of God in my life, I will wither up and blow away. We're talking about spiritual things. Jesus makes it plain that as believers, we have eternal life. You are living eternally right now, folks, whether you know that or not. You're in eternal life right now. In fact, those that are not saved are living an eternal life. However, they have the opportunity to change the destination. But we're all going to live eternally. Either in the presence of the Most High God or in hell. Void. Completely void. That's what makes, in my opinion, yes, there's gnashing of teeth. Yes, there's sulfur and smoke and brimstone and all that stuff. But what makes hell hell is the reality that God won't be there. He will be in heaven. And when these verses talk about believe, that believes, it means that we are to continue to believe. We don't merely believe once. We keep believing and we keep trusting. How many of you had to believe this morning? How many of you just had to believe this morning? Oh, God. I came in here this morning and Brother Ray said, "How you doing, Pastor?" And I said, "I'm not doing good." "Well, what's the matter?" I said, "I don't know, Ray. I just don't feel, I feel completely out of place." Isn't that weird? I'm a pastor here. I don't know if you know that or not. I felt out of place. I mean, we're talking out of place. Out of place like a milk bucket under a bull. That out of place. Some of you will get that on the way home. But it's in those kinds of moments, church, when we feel out of place, when we feel disconnected, that we have to fall back on the reality of what God said in His Word. I have been born again. I have partaken of the bread of life. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price, the shed blood of Jesus, and I go tell somebody all about it. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." No one else but Jesus is the bread that gives eternal life. I want you to hear seven I ams of Jesus. Seven of them. Number one, I am the bread of life. Number two, I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am, here we go, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, "I am the true vine." He is the one that gives us our life-sustaining nourishment. And in John 6 and 35, Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger." Will never hunger. And he who believes will never thirst. We never thirst because from Jesus we receive rivers of living water that flow out of our innermost being. The abundant fullness of the Holy Spirit will meet every need, whether it's from breathing, whether it's heart conditions, whether it's a house that you need to have, whether it's a heart attack that we stand against, whether it's provision, whether it's whatever it is. God said, "I'm sufficient." He's an all-sufficient God. He's got everything you ever need. He already knows about it. He's just waiting for us to bow up and believe by faith what He said. The abundant fullness of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God will meet every need and will solve every problem. Every problem. The abundant fullness will meet every problem. Jesus said, "Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead, but this bread which comes down from heaven, that they may eat of it and not die." The religious leaders frequently asked Jesus to prove to them why He was better than the prophets they already had. Don't buy in to that kind of mentality. Jesus don't have to prove nothing to you. He don't have to prove a thing to you. He's the Son of the Most High God. Jesus refused the challenge of the Pharisees and the scribes. Manna was a physical and a temporal bread. The people ate it and were sustained for the day. The next day, they couldn't even store it up. They had every day they had to go back and get replenished. The people ate it and were sustained, but they had to get more every day. Without demeaning Moses' role, Jesus was presenting Himself as the spiritual bread from heaven that satisfies completely and leads to eternal life. There's personal effectiveness of this bread doesn't come from seeing it or from recognizing its heavenly origin, but from taking it in, from eating it. That's why we can't just read God's Word and say, oh yeah, I believe that. We got to receive it. It's one thing to believe. How many of you know the devil himself believes in Jesus? A lot of people believe in heaven. A lot of people believe in hell. But look, church, unless we put something to our belief in the form of action, unless we act out, unless we believe, I receive Jesus Christ. The devil's been all my life trying to kill me. All my life he's tried to kill me. When I was 3 years old, my mom gave me a paring knife. Haley, don't give the baby a paring knife. She gave it to me because I was always under her feet, and she said, here, take this and just cut these cardboard boxes up and I'll burn them in the fire. We had an old wood cook stove. Half of it was wood. The oven was electric. It was a 220. I got tired of cutting on the boxes, church. That cord that big around looked awfully exciting. Woo! I had that little paring knife in my hand, and I grabbed that thing and I began to saw. Let me tell you what happens when metal touches energized wires. I'm telling you what, it blew me clear across the room. It took that knife and just scalloped it like that. Set the house on fire. Listen. Wow. Haley, honey, it's true. I really think that from that age, the enemy's been trying to kill me. I could stand here all day long and tell you about things that have happened in my life, times when I probably should have been dead, but I'm not. I'm still here. You're still stuck with me. I'm still here. The personal effectiveness of the bread of life that Jesus is talking about does not come merely from seeing it. In fact, He says, I'm the bread of life that come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, and which I will give him for life, the life of the world. To give his flesh meant that Jesus was giving over his body to the death of the cross. Jesus did not deserve the cross. You and I deserve the cross. But Jesus was our substitute. The world has a hard time, church, believing and recognizing and understanding that, listen, when you surrendered your life to Jesus, you are no longer your own. You are not your own. You have been bought. You have been purchased. The very word redeemed, church, means that something of value has been given to purchase you. We've been redeemed by what? By the blood of the Lamb. By the broken body of Jesus Christ. You're not your own. You going to go to church? No, not today. You need to be in church. Jesus said to not forsake fellowshipping together. And I know I've run amok right there, but it's still God's Word. Talk to that person about Jesus. I don't want to. Well, you're not your own. I died for that person just like I died. Do you remember when I died for you? two ways we are united with Christ. Number one, by believing in His death. Do we believe? Have we just given mental and verbal assent to the reality of His death, or do we believe it? I'd rather live my whole life, church, believing that Jesus Christ died for my sins, forgave me, and has my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then when I die and they put me in the ground, whatever happens from then on, I got no control over. I'd rather believe that when I die, I'm going to be in the presence of God than to believe the lie of the world and say, you know, that just is too good to be true. It's just there's just so many variables. I can't imagine somebody dying on a cross and this blood and this body and all this redeemed stuff. And I just don't know if I could wrap my head around all that. That's, by the way, where faith comes in. I just don't know if I can buy into all that. So you know what? I'm just going to do my own thing, take my chances, and at the end of my life, stand before the Lord and hear Him say, if you would have only received me. But because you didn't, depart from me, I never knew you. Church, the Jews depended on daily bread for their strength, and they relished it as a main part of their diet. And so we too can depend on and desire the living Christ in our daily life. If you only come into church on Sundays and getting from Jesus on Sunday, you're missing out the rest of the week. We got to begin to fellowship with Him all week long. Nobody can receive life until the giver died by shedding His blood and shedding His own life. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. You have no life in you. Jesus is waiting for you and I to accept and to receive and even understand the significance of His death in order to receive eternal life. We believe that He died. We believe that we've been redeemed, but are we acting upon our redemption? Are we living it out? Are we walking it out? We just talked about it this morning and during communion. As Christians, we do this when we commemorate the Lord's Supper and take to heart the words of Jesus in Matthew 26 and 26. Take, eat, this is my body. And then further on, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood. It's the blood of the covenant. He established a new covenant. How many of you know that? Not just a new covenant, a better covenant. What makes Jesus' covenant better than the old covenant? Because every year they had to redo the old covenant. Every year some poor farm animal had to die and give his life to have blood for the covenant. But Jesus said, I'll shed my blood once for the remission of all. One time. One time. It's a new and a better covenant. He gave His body to death on the cross. Understand this, church, by telling us to partake of Christ's body and blood, He's not telling us to be cannibals. Understand that. He's not calling us to that. Instead, these expressions point us to the violent sacrificial death. Listen, we see, how many of you have seen the pictures of Jesus and He's on the cross and He's got the beautiful little crown of thorns around His head and got a little trickle of blood running down His face right there, and they've got Him nailed to the cross and He's got a little tiny hole in His side and a little bit of blood, a few little stripes across. That's nonsense. That is not a true depiction of what Jesus went through to purchase your salvation and mine. This crown, these are Judean thorns, just like the ones that they put on Jesus. And I remember when we were in Utah, and I had a crown of thorns just like that, and I set them on my bald head. And those things are so stinking sharp that it pierced my skin, and I was bleeding right there. They didn't just set that on him nicely. They jammed it down around his ears. And I don't know if you've ever had a head wound or not, but head wounds bleed profusely. And the blood flowed out of him. We have to understand. It was a violent death. It was horrific. He suffered this and for the necessity of the believers, for you and I, to partake in the benefit of his death. Old Jake Hess used to sing the song, "Death Ain't No Big Deal," and it's not anymore since we've received Jesus. John 6:56 says, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." Let me close with this. Remember, I'm just closing. I'm not done. Kathy, come play something. John chapter 6, verse 57 and 58. "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." Jesus is pointing to his relationship with the Father as a model of the union, the vital union that he wants to share with every one of us. As the Son was dependent upon the living Father for his life and lives because of the Father, so you and I, as believers who live in Jesus, will live because of Jesus. He's my breath. He's my life. I am who I am because of who He is, because of what He's done. This verse summarizes the discourse and repeats the major point of the message that we read in its entirety. And he contrasts himself with the bread of life, with the manna that could not give eternal life to the Israelites who ate it. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, "He humbled himself, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall live by bread, or shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." John 1:1-4 shows that Jesus is that Word of God. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing that was made was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Our words, church, reveal to others our heart and our mind. Children's church, we used to sing, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say." We need to be careful. Jesus Christ is God's Word to reveal the heart of the Father. He says in John 14 and verse 9, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Bow your heads with me this morning. Jesus. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you today. We're grateful for all that you've done. I thank you for the elements this morning, Lord, that we remembered all that you've done for us. But God, today, maybe there's somebody here. They say, Pastor, I don't know about this salvation. I don't understand it. Lord, by your Holy Spirit today, would you begin to reveal to your people the simplicity of the gospel. Church, we don't have to have it all figured out. All we have to do is accept it and believe it and receive it and walk in it the rest of our lives. See, the Bible makes it really simple. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. In another place in the Bible, it says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. This morning, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People are praying, and it's between you and God and me this morning. Me, only because I'm the instrument that God's using right now. And if you're in this place today and you say, Preacher, I've never been saved. I don't know about this salvation, but I don't want to go to hell, and I do want to make heaven my home, and I do want my life to change. So how do I accept God? How do I accept Jesus as my Savior? Well, listen, if you'll just slip your hand up right now, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. God will take care of the rest, church. Just slip your hand up and say, Preacher.